imagine, recording imagine in progress.
This. Imagine you, yes, you, having the opportunity and the chance to meet with God, yes, with God, the creator of the universe, you and him together, face to face, having a little conversation. Can you imagine that? I wonder what you would say to God. I wonder what questions you would have for him. And I wonder as well, because I guess God being God would want to have a little one or two questions for you as well. What would you ask God? What might God ask you? Well, just such a situation we heard about in the Bible passage, the reading that Sophie just read for us. Why do I say that? Because Jesus Christ is God, and when he walked upon the earth 2,000 years ago, the people who met him and had little conversations with him actually had what we just imagined a moment ago, a conversation with the living God. And we heard about a young man who met Jesus face to face. And you know, if you had lived 2,000 years ago, you too could have met God in Jesus and had this kind of conversation. And the question, the big question that that young man wanted to ask God in Jesus was this. It's coming up on the screen. Good teacher, what must I do to get the life that never ends? What must I do to get eternal life? What must I do to get to heaven? That is a very, very good question. A very good question indeed. Now, when Jesus responded to this young man's question, he didn't just say, well, hey, young man, boom, 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 there you go, there's your answer. Jesus hardly ever answered questions like that. He turned it around and he said to the young man, well, what do you think? Here's a little bit of a Bible. What do you think about that? And what do you think might be the answer to the question, how do I get eternal life? So we're going to stop for a moment. And what I'd like you to do, imagine that situation, God meeting God, and God asking you personally, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? What would you say? Think about it. Like Jesus made the young man think about it. What are your thoughts about this? What do you think you should say to God if he said to you, why should I let you into eternal life in heaven? Have a conversation with the person sat next to you and just let them know what you think you might say to God in a situation when he asked you that question. So just turn to the people next to you, turn to your mum or dad, your carer, and have a little conversation, and then 2 or 3 minutes, we'll come back together. Come back and listen to the front again. I wonder what you would say if God said to you, if you met him personally, why should I let you into heaven? And you said to him, well, because what? Well, in the Bible, and according to Jesus, there are two basic answers to that question, okay? One of them is wrong, and I've got an envelope here marked with a big red cross, a wrong answer to that question. The second way of answering that question, thankfully, is right, and it's got a great big green tick on it. And this second envelope, I got a little bit more answers to the what we might say or what we might think about. So we have a wrong answer and we have a right answer. We're going to think, first of all, about the wrong answer. If God was to say to us, why should I let you into heaven? What might be the wrong answer? Well, if I open up my envelope here and have a little look inside, I find that I've got another envelope. And this envelope gives the answer that is wrong. The wrong answer emphasizes what I have done. I think you should let me into heaven because I, it's going to be wrong. I did this, I did that, I did the other. You see, what did the young man think that he had done to get eternal life in heaven? Jesus said to him, it's coming up on the screen, you know the commands, you know you must not murder anyone, you must not commit adultery or be guilty of adultery, you mustn't steal, you mustn't tell lies about your neighbor, especially in court, you mustn't cheat, honor your father and your mother. And what did the young man say? The young man coming up on the screen. He said this, I have obeyed all these commands since I was a boy. He thought that he had done everything he could to get right with God and to have eternal life in heaven. He really thought that he had done it. And you know, people nowadays still think, and this might have been the way that you answered the question a little bit a moment ago, still think that they or we can do things to get right with God and to eternal life. So what have I got here in my envelope? Well, here we go. I've got various pictures here. Now, please forgive me. I'm not very good at drawing. Everyone else in my family is very good at drawing. Okay, so, but hopefully you'll see what I've done, okay? What did this man think? First of all, we might actually say, because, like that young man, what are those? Command, well, my drawing's not bad after all. I've obeyed the Ten Commandments, we might say. Or this next drawing here. What's that? Church. We're okay still. I go to church regularly. I worship God at my place of worship, wherever that might be. That's why you should let me into heaven. This one might be a bit more difficult. I tested it on someone on Friday, and we just about got there. What's happening here? Oh, in one. Well done. Because I've been baptized. That's why you should let me into heaven, God. Or, because I keep thinking the right way. What I think is politically correct, what I think is theologically right. That's why I've got it sussed, God. I know what I think, and I know that what I think agrees with what you think. That's why you should let me in. Or, because I say all the right things. You know, my words are kind, I speak the truth, and I say the right things about you as well. Or, I found this one the most difficult one to draw, actually. Hopefully you get it. What's happening here? Praying. I pray regularly. Maybe 5 times a day. Maybe once a day. Maybe once a week. But I do pray regularly. That's why you should let me into heaven. And then there's this one here. What's happening here? Being generous, yes. Being generous, being kind, giving things to other people. I give to charity. All these things are ways in which we think that we have done to get right with God. But they're wrong. They are the wrong answer. So let's come back to the story with this young man once again. You see, God demands from us 100% perfection. And none of us are 100% perfect. No matter how hard we try, we still get things wrong, like the young man in the story. Coming up on the screen again, this is what Jesus said to him. There is still one more thing you need to do. Go and sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have a reward in heaven. then come and follow me. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it at all. Why not? Well, what Jesus asked of him and what he couldn't do demonstrated and showed that this young man loved his money more than God. He loved his money more than giving it up and following Jesus. The Bible calls that an idol. It means you've broken the first two commandments about not worshipping the Lord God alone. You see, he loved something more than he loved God and Jesus. And like that young man, there are all sorts of things in our hearts and in our lives that we often love more than we love God. And let's just be really simple. For this guy, it was money. And I have to say, let's be honest, the brutal, dirty fact is we're not so different when it comes to money. Let's just stick with that. Money. Money, money, money. Stuff that money gets, like toys and holidays and enjoying our recreation and our sport and our hobbies and our houses that we buy and we make them bigger and we fill them with all sorts of furniture. And we love our furniture more sometimes than we love God. And sometimes we go on holiday and we like to look and go in someone else's big house who've died a long time ago, and we look at all their furniture with the National Trust or whatever it is. We're really into furniture. And we're really into our phones. Spend all our time on the phone. Oh, sorry, heaven. Oh, got to get something on social media. And nights out and parties. You know, there's nothing wrong with the National Trust. Nothing wrong with other people's furniture. Nothing wrong with having furniture in your house. Okay, these are good gifts of God, but we do, don't we, put them above God. And we love them more than we love him. That's why emphasizing what I've done is the wrong answer. It's not just that we can't do enough. We've got a problem in our hearts that often loves other things more than we love God. So thankfully, there's the right answer, okay? You're already ahead of me. You already know what's in here, don't you? Anyone want to guess what's in here? No, not God. Another envelope. Yay, that's right. Thank you. Another envelope. And what's on this envelope? You already know what's written on my side, don't you? This one says, what I have done. What does this one say? Sorry, okay, you're all shouting out. Don't shout at once. Put your hands up. And hands up. Who? What does it say on the other side? Oh, you've all gone quiet. What Jesus done. That's right. Which is what Holiday Club's been all about. I told you I wasn't going to say anything new. And what do you think's in this envelope? The other right end. It's what Jesus done, hasn't it? Inside there is the cross. It's not what we do. It is what God has done. Coming up on the screen there is the conversation as it went on. You know, so the disciples, when they heard the conversation between Jesus and the rich man, the young man, they thought the young man was really cool. They thought he'd got it sorted. So when they heard Jesus say, well, hang on, you've not, they were a bit shocked and said, who then can be saved? They thought, if anyone could be saved, this young man could be. And Jesus said, well, hang on, no. And then they're going, well, hang on, if he can't be, then I can't be. And what did Jesus say next? Yeah, you're right, it is impossible. It's impossible for people to be saved and to save themselves. But how does it go on? Say it with me, the words from but. But for God, all things are possible. And this is part of the way through Mark's Gospel. And Mark's Gospel is heading all the way to Jesus and his death on the cross. This is why Jesus Christ, the King, the Messiah, is the superhero. He is God himself And he did the impossible. What we can't do, he did by dying on the cross for all and every single one of our sins. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he shouted out, "It is finished." You know what? That phrase, "it is finished," comes from when people were buying and selling things. And when they'd finally made the main payment for what they were buying, they would say, "It's finished." So when Jesus shouted on the cross, "It is finished," he was saying, "I paid it all. That means all this other stuff, whoops, mine out there, you don't have to do. It's all on me. I've paid it all as I have died on the cross for you." Isn't that wonderful? So let me conclude. A moment ago, we had a little conversation with each other, like that young man, around the question, what must I do to have eternal life in heaven? And we see from Jesus that there are two answers, wrong and right. The wrong answer emphasizes what I have done. And we can never do enough. And like that young man, we have a problem, a deeper problem in our hearts. Our hearts need changing. But thankfully, there is the right answer, which emphasizes what God has done for us in Jesus. Isn't it amazing today? We celebrate and we thank God this Sunday for the amazing superhero, God himself in Jesus, who did the impossible for us, forgiving our sins and opening up eternal life for us. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer that summarizes some of the things that we've been thinking about. And if you try and be real quiet, I'm going to say the prayer a little bit slowly so that as many people can join in and understand what I'm saying and make it their heart prayer to God. You may have prayed a prayer like this before. It's okay to say it again and to be thankful to Jesus. You may never have prayed like this to Jesus before. Today, I invite you to join in and give your heart to Jesus. Thank him for all that he's done for you to save you. He's done the impossible for you. So here's the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the great superhero, our King and Savior. And first of all, in our prayer now, we want to be honest and admit that we're very proud. And we sometimes think that we can do enough to earn eternal life. But we can't. We fail. And so today we say sorry to you. And we say, please forgive us. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for all of our sins, so we can receive eternal life and forgiveness. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And we pray, please change our hearts so that we do love you more than we love money and toys and clothes and furniture and phones and holiday and stuff. And we ask all this in your wonderful name. Amen. We're going to sing a song. The musicians are going to come out. And I quoted Jesus on the cross saying, "It's finished." We're going to sing a song which picks up those very words, the words of Jesus. "It's finished. It's done. The impossible has happened." Let's stand and sing.